But this whole idea of risks, taking those risks, yes, they're calculated, and yes, you have that parachute, but a lot of hustlers seem to be jumpers. I mean, if we think back to... Everybody, and welcome to Hustle and Heels podcast. I'm your host, Stacy.
And I'm Kaylee.
Thanks for hanging with us again, another week. We love that you are part of our tribe, and thanks for coming back. Don't forget to tell your friends, though. How can they tell their friends? Where can they find us?
On every social platform at HIH Pod.
Yeah.
Or, most importantly, on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast is where you need to tell your friends to actually go.
Right.
Subscribe, review, share.
Yes, we're getting some more reviews out there too. Loving it. Thank you so much for that. We're going to read a listener review tonight at the end of our show to cap it all off. So we are drinking some pretty good wine tonight as we are a little bit toasty in the studio. So you know what I'm not going to do though? Complain.
No.
Because it's been real cold and then now it's hot. And I'm just going to embrace that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all right that the air isn't working. It's fine.
It's totally fine. Everything is fine.
Everything's fine.
If you listened last week, then right. You'll get that.
Right. And if you haven't, go back and listen. Yeah.
And I just remembered, so we do the live before we get rolling, you know? So if you guys were or watching us live on Facebook, I don't even know whenever. A week ago, two weeks
whatever. Ago now. So hard recording.
And that thing that I was looking at Sarah and I was like, I was going to say something, but I forgot it. It just came back to me and it was that same thing. Like, but you know what? I love the heat and I'm not going to complain about it.
No, we're not. What we're going to do is we're going to pretend like we're on a beach somewhere, drinking our wine. And we are drinking some of my buddy Wally's wine tonight. You know how we love our local wines, and tonight we are continuing that tradition. So we are drinking the 2013 Merlot, and I love Merlot, and I love Wally's Merlot, and I'm saying Wally because he is one of the owners and winemaker for Domain Berrien Cellars. Locally made and owned. And here's what I love about Wally. Kaylee and I, if you follow us on our social platforms, you saw pictures of us this weekend. We were at an event in downtown Stevensville called the Village Charcuterie Festival. Said that right. Nailed it. And it's essentially a beer and wine festival with some fantastic food that goes along with it. And we volunteer to help out, to pour beer, to pour wine. You know how I like to pour wine and drink it. And so I was pouring for Domain Berrien, and I was pouring with Wally. And here's Wally rocking his camo hat. He, like, when you think of, like, winery owner, do you think of camo hat, you know, rocking it out, sitting on the back porch, watching the turkeys come in? That's Wally. So I dig that guy and what he's doing out there. So I like the wine too. So great job, Domain Berrien. And we're pumped to be drinking your wine tonight.
This is good Merlot.
It's really good.
I'm kind of picky with Merlot. Yeah. This is good.
Yeah, it's really good. So, Sarah, what do you think about this Merlot?
I think it's amazing.
Yeah. So there's another person in the studio with us tonight. And her name is Sarah Workman. So, Sarah, what's up?
Not a lot. Just enjoying my first podcast.
Woo-hoo! So let me just describe Sarah here quickly for our listeners. You're going to see pictures of her, but she's gorgeous with the long hair. And she has the cutest dress on with like the pink going down. So essentially her dress matches our logo.
Yeah.
That's what the first thing I thought of.
Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm. I planned it just for you guys.
See? Like, I feel like, and we'll take a picture of her with our Hustlin' in Heels podcast wine glass. Like, she could be the logo model for our wine glass, for our logo.
I would love it.
And we're both wearing like nude khaki
we
colors.
We are not wearing nude.
not literally nude. Neutral. Neutral is the word I was looking for. And so our pictures, you would be like the perfect spokesperson for Hustlin' in Heels.
Yes.
Well, that makes me happy.
Yeah. And here's the other thing you'll notice in our picture. They're like 2 feet taller than me.
Yeah.
I'm wearing orange heels. That happened. So, yeah. All right. I'm about to put the hair in a ponytail already. So,
do it.
So anyways, we are going to be hanging out here with Sarah tonight. We're going to be talking to her a little bit, but I wanted to provide a little bit of a background for Sarah. We've talked to women from all different fields, and if you've been listening to us all along the way, you've heard from some fantastic leaders in their industry who are just crushing it out there, and Sarah's is no exception. In fact, she, you know how we always ask for our listeners to make recommendations. That's how we found out about Sarah. So a lot of our guests, we know them or we know mm-hmm. of them. You know, Kaylee and I are pretty active in the community, and we do, you know, public relations for our career. So we meet people all the time, and we had the list of like, all right, we got to talk to these women. Well, one of our listeners, Carrie, listeners are familiar with Carrie. she said, all right, you've got to talk to this girl. You've got to talk. You've got to get her on your podcast. She's just a fantastic person. She's a mom. She's a career woman. She's funny. And, you know, she's just super cool. So you got to talk to her. So we contacted her a couple weeks ago. And even though she has three little boys at home, she managed to make it here to the studio with us tonight. So Sarah Workman is the co-founder and managing partner of JP Workman Group, which is an executive recruiting firm, correct?
Correct. Correct.
All right. So what's a recruiting firm? Because that sounds like a really cool thing.
Oh, it's so cool. So a recruiting firm, well, it can be a lot of things. And we actually do a lot of executive searches is definitely our focus. But we also do entry-level type positions. We really cover a lot of industries and a lot of different types of roles. So it's really fun. I lived in Chicago, just quick snapshot background, lived in Chicago, mm-hmm. worked for a startup, was an amazing experience, learned it from the ground up, so on and so forth. And then one of my colleagues and coworkers, years down later on, makes me feel old, decided to start our own firm. So we pretty much work in all different types of industries, and we, long story short, I think ultimately our goal is to deliver top talent to our clients, mm-hmm. and then also help people find the perfect positions and careers.
Yeah. All right. That totally makes sense. So you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I think we should back the train up, right? And as we always do, let's talk about your story. So from Southwest Michigan originally?
Yes, Niles.
Okay. Niles, nice. And then after that, went to college?
Yes, I went to Western Michigan All University.
Right. Go Broncos. Desby will like that one. She's a Bronco girl.
So went to Western. I actually played basketball at Western. So that was a whole nother...
All 4 years?
Three out of the four.
Three. Okay, so let's talk about that then. So as a female collegiate athlete, what was that like?
It was a wonderful experience. Definitely a huge part of my life, obviously, being a Division I athlete, and learned a lot along the way, even through high school up to my Division I collegiate experience. It shaped a lot of who I am, obviously, and taught me a lot of the characteristics that have helped in my career, I would say, for sure.
All right. So give me an example.
Well, first off, I am a mom to three small – I have my oldest is three, just turned 3 years old, to three small little boys. So every day in my life, balancing that with my career.
I'm sorry. Did you say your oldest is three?
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm like –
I'm going to stop you right there. Did you say your oldest is three?
My oldest just turned three last month.
Oh, Lee.
Yes. So I have been.
Hannah.
And they're all boys.
They are all boys. So Eddie, Johnny, and Joey. I have to give them a little shout out.
Eddie, Johnny, and Joey. How cute are those names? And I see their pictures. Oh, so dang cute.
They're yummy, aren't they?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
So you are so put together.
I know.
For having three kids basically under the age of three.
Oh, you are so sweet. You should see me. My mom always tells people, she's like, you do not see her when she's like, it looks like a shit show.
We'll talk about the shit show part.
Your mom is so nice.
Moms know.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the shit show part, but we're gonna wait a minute for that. So let's go back before you had those three little darlings. And what are some of the lessons that you learned as a collegiate athlete that you think work now?
So being a collegiate athlete, there's a lot that goes with it. So obviously the athletic piece, But there's, I mean, your daily life, I mean, it's nonstop. It's work. It's watching film. It's going to class. It's being prepared at all times. It's making sure you're on time. It's, I mean, there's so many characteristics that carry over to your everyday life personally and also in your career. So it's definitely something that, I mean, and just your overall team experience. And I mean, I have relationships with my teammates that I'll have forever. And, you know, you learn about different people and how to interact with people and how to be leaders and how to be coachable all at the same time. So it's, mm-hmm. it's a really, really great experience to have gone through.
Yeah. And time management for sure. Cause all those things that you're talking about, you know, you've got to excel in all of those things. So you've got to figure out how to prioritize your time, I'm assuming.
Most definitely. And as a recruiter, one of the big things is I always tell my candidates this. I always told myself as an athlete, if I wasn't going to succeed or if I was going to fail or if anything was going to go wrong, it wasn't going to be because I didn't prepare for it. So I made sure that I had on a daily basis did everything I could do, you know, cross all your T's, dot all your I's, make sure that you were on top of it so that if something, it was out of your control and that you can look back and say, I did everything in my power to make sure that I was prepared or so on and so forth.
Yeah. I mean, that preparation, hustlers talk about that all the time, right? When we interview them, that's like mm-hmm. one of the things that keeps coming up. Like the fact that the whole idea of proper preparation prevents poor performance, right? Like you've got to put the work in.
Most definitely.
First. So you graduate from college. Then you take off for the big city?
Right away. I said.
All right, country mouse going into the city. What was that like?
Oh, it was so fun. I left my boyfriend, who's now my husband, at home.
Oh, all right.
Or in college, I should say.
You guys met in college?
We did. He played basketball, too.
Okay. That's because he's how tall?
6'8".
Yeah. And how tall are you?
I'm about 6 foot.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, we're a little. And my kids are extremely large for their ages.
Well, future basketball players.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? We'll see.
So you head off there. Was that a scary experience? At first, you know what I mean? You're going off to somewhere you're not very familiar with, maybe?
You know what it was? It was scary and exciting all at the same time. I lived I lived in Chicago for 3 years. I lived with one of my best friends all 3 years. It was a really, 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 I mean, amazing experience. It was something that I knew I wanted to do, I think, even from when I was younger. You know, go do the whole career, live with friends, and experience that on our own. So we literally graduated and moved the next day and said, let's rock and roll.
Did you have a job when you moved there?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I had a job when I moved there, which was nice, obviously. And it led to a lot of different – I actually, with my job when I moved there, was at a trade show and met randomly my old manager, who is now my sister company. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So the job that you had – when you first moved there, that's not the recruiting job that you ended up having.
Nope. Met him at a trade show, decided mm-hmm. to take another path. And then I didn't know anything about recruiting. And he said, hey, well, let's just rock and roll. And so worked for a startup and learned, he, you know, learned everything. It was amazing. And I was the second employee hired at that startup. Hmm. And the first employee, she's now my business partner.
Really?
Yes. So.
Huh.
Everything happens for a reason,
right? That was a real startup.
Yeah, like a cool little loft, real startup.
A recruiting firm startup.
Yes.
So the job that you went for was not a startup.
No.
Okay. So you're in a new city and you leave your job that was not a startup to go be the second employee at a very new firm, which presents its own risks.
Yes.
Like, what was going through, like, there must have been some, was it just like gut instinct or what was the,
you know what,
like, that sounds scary.
It was very scary and it was total gut instinct. And I used to explain it to people and I half the time didn't even know what I was explaining. Like, oh, I got a new job. Oh, what are you doing? Recruiting. And I'm thinking, I don't even know what the hell I'm doing.
What does that mean? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. But
I have
we're
a really
gonna
cool
loft. Yeah, we're going to figure it out. We're going to show up every day, work hard.
So let me ask you this question, because I describe myself as this often. Are you a jumper when it comes to making decisions like that? Is that something you've done in your life where it feels right in your gut? It makes sense. It's not like you're jumping off of a bridge without a parachute, but you're willing to jump.
Yes, I would definitely say so.
So if there been, before you made that jump to recruiting, was that a pattern throughout your life?
I think so. Now that you, I guess I really never thought about that or identified that, but I think probably. I mean, things happen a lot that I'm like, wow, I can't believe that really happened. And I didn't really think about it as it was happening.
So you go for it and work it out.
Yes.
All right. So I'm just developing this theory as we go through the podcast, because it's becoming a theme, I think, with our podcast. Not only is like preparation, putting in the hard work, which those are all obvious things, right? That's what hustlers do. But this whole idea of risks, taking those risks, yes, they're calculated, and yes, you have that parachute, but a lot of hustlers seem to be jumpers. I mean, if we think back to when we're talking about the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm. Jill.
When we were here with Jill, and I mean, they threw her the key. They said, hey, do you want to be the director? They threw her the keys and she walked in there. I mean, that's a jump, right? Like going from a job that you
never worked in a nonprofit.
Right. Yeah. She had never worked in a nonprofit. Yeah. She was a teacher.
Well, and then Sarah.
Paderewski.
Ironic. You're like, what? I'm sitting right here now. Yeah. Sarah
Paderewski.
Like, switching from marketing to nursing.
Because she had this epiphany.
She had an epiphany.
In a hospital. Yeah. Which she ran out of. Like,
it's fascinating because I no part of me can relate to that at all. Like, I'm the calculated, emphasis on the calculated.
Yes.
Like, the risk is fine. The risk, maybe it's not really so fine because nothing about it is risky once I've made all the calculations.
Right.
You know,
then it's just a move. Then it's just a strategic move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially considering some risks that I have taken over the last like year and a half that have not panned out. So now I'm particularly risk averse.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So.
Hmm.
Yeah, I swear, we learn something about ourselves.
We do.
We're like, it all makes sense.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah. Me too.
Pause.
So it's like, I don't know what your epiphany was, but I'm going to drink to it.
I'm going to drink that.
We know. We're like, oh, yes. Oh,
yeah.
Hey, speaking of, while we're pausing, thanks, Mike, for the sticky notes. We had our live show last week. Was that last week? Yes. Oh my God. That was last week.
It was last week.
You guys haven't heard it yet. Wait. Yes.
Yes, you have.
I swear I've only had a half a glass. And so we always talk about our sticky notes from Mike. So he said, great job at the live show, ladies. Now, Mike, you know, you've been drawing us some pictures lately, and I feel like this was a very rushed note as you were leaving today. I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I would appreciate a picture.
I feel like this was, you guys gave me such a hard time, if I'm Mike, last week for not writing us a note, that he wrote this out of obligation.
Yeah. Like, you might need, Mike, you might need to step up the sticky.
You know, I know you and Bob have had a busy week.
Right.
But so have we. So, just saying.
Even hustlers need a little bit of love now, Mike.
Okay.
All right.
Anyways, what were we talking
about? So, recruiting. You joined this startup. So, startups are so fascinating to me because the only frame of reference I have for startups is like what I see on TV. Mm-hmm. So, what is it like in a startup?
You know, I really, it's...
You can move that too.
It's quite... I would say it's definitely quite fascinating. It's a lot of learn as you go. I didn't think I really realized I was joining a startup, but I just every day you'd learn something new, you learn from it, and you keep rocking and rolling. I mean, it's fun. I mean, it was definitely a huge part of, who I am now and like in what I'm doing now. Because then, you know, branching off and starting our own years later. Starting our own company has been a whole nother experience and considered a startup as well. So it's very, very, it's fun. It's crazy.
Yeah. So you learned, I'm assuming, how to be flexible.
Very, very.
Were there a lot of cold calls?
You know what? There was. And there was a lot of just like, you learn to not care. Like, my business partner still laughs at me. I will sit at a Starbucks and cold call people all the time and like not care what people around me are like thinking. She's insane. It doesn't even faze me. It's just part of like what we do.
Yeah. So there's two elements to that. You'll cold call people, which you're speaking to somebody on the other line. And as Kaylee and I can attest, we're on the other line mm-hmm. of that a yeah. lot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you got through, huh? Oh, okay. yeah. Sounds great. Okay.
Yeah, about I'll get to back walk into to a you. Meeting.
Bad connection.
But we would never do that to
no,
you.
Right, no.
Just so you know.
But so that's, we're on that side of it. So what is it like on the other side of that cold call?
You know, you get to a point where you're extremely resilient.
Yeah.
You just try to speak as fast as you can, as clear as you can.
Yes. You only have, so you have like just a very few seconds to get their attention.
You do. And here's the funny part about it is, and what we do being a recruiting firm and working with candidates, so you're kind of the middleman. So mm-hmm. you're in a lot of ways, you're like an agent.
Yeah.
So you're the middleman and you're, so part of our cold calling to businesses is very like we're talking about, where you're talking to HR professionals, C-level executives, and we're the last, we're, you know, we're competing with competitors and we're the last people they want to talk to at that moment. And then part of it is to candidates, and every candidate wants to talk to a recruiter. Mm. So then you get a lot of love because then it's like,
sure,
every time, even if you leave a voicemail,
well, it's flattering,
so it balances it out.
So it does. So it's not complete rejection. So it's not like an inside sales role or a call center role where it's like over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I've placed a lot of candidates in those types of roles. I give them a lot of credit, mm-hmm. but I have both sides of it. So the candidate perspective, I mean, everyone calls you back because they never know what's going to happen with their job, mm-hmm. their company, so on and so forth. So
grass might be greener.
Yeah. And they always want to have you in their back pocket.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So it's a little bit of both. So it's
nice.
Yeah. So you have to, and the type of positions that we recruit for, which again is tons of different industries and from entry level all the way up to executive, but they're permanent placement positions. So the people that we're calling are in what we pride ourselves on at JP Workman Group is we, you know, deliver top talent. We're trying to find the A players in the industry who aren't necessarily looking for jobs. So that part's tough. I mean, that's definitely cold calling, trying to say, hey, listen, let me educate you on this company. Let me give you the basics of it. Let me, you know, you're an A player. I need to talk to you. That's what we pride ourselves on. You know, that's top talent that we're trying to find for our clients.
Mm-hmm. Your clients are the businesses that you're trying to fill positions for.
Exactly.
So why do they call you? Why do they work through a recruiter?
For a lot of reasons. So we're a contingent recruiting firm. So we, in layman's terms, we don't get paid until we perform. Mm. So there's no upfront fee. It's just, hey, we sign a contract, we'll present candidates, and if you hire somebody, there's obviously a fee involved. Mm-hmm. But why? So just in basic, it's a lot of times hard to find the mm-hmm. top talent that you know are going to fit your cultural needs, have the skill set that you're looking for. There's so many different resources that people are constantly like looking through or leaving companies and so on and so forth, that they hire us to make sure that we're pretty much putting people in seats that are ready to rock and roll, mm-hmm. that are A players, that are rock stars, that are like, mm-hmm. okay, they have every skill set we need. They are aware of our culture. They're aware of our compensation, benefit packages, those types of details.
Mm-hmm. So when you, I have so many questions. So,
I know.
When you are contacted by these businesses to find them talent, do these businesses oftentimes have their own recruiters too?
So it really depends on the size of the company is okay. a big thing. And I'm going to just be very candid.
Yeah.
Corporate recruiting is wonderful and hiring internal recruiters is wonderful, but there's not as much incentive mm-hmm. as we are competing. So a lot of times we're exclusive with our clients.
You're hustling.
Yeah, we're hustling. I mean, we're usually exclusive, but not always.
What does that mean?
That means that they're not using any other firms.
Okay.
So, you know, we've definitely found like we perform. So let's just say that we perform, and then a lot of times our clients will just use us. But essentially, especially our new clients, a lot of times we're competing with other firms. Mm-hmm. So that means we're not exclusive. So at that point, you know, we have we're rocking and rolling. We're trying to give them top talent at a good, you know,
good price point. Yeah,
exactly.
So for some, sorry, Kaylee, go ahead.
Well, so I get the competing with other firms. What about the in-house versus a firm? Do you run into that? Do companies you work with tend to just not have in-house for whatever reason?
So you know what? We actually, a lot of the in-house recruiters are our best friends.
Oh.
Because they have quotas and they have needs, and it's a lot of work. You know, you go through an interview process, and we have a very tailored approach. So we do start to finish. So, I mean, we are making sure that they are, you know, prepared, that they actually show up for the interviews, that they are on time for the calls. I mean, you would be so surprised, the candidates who just, and especially the A-player candidates who, they don't necessarily need to be interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, we run through the whole entire process with the candidates. So they are, we are making sure that they are A to Z ready to rock and roll. So a lot of times the in-house recruiters or the corporate recruiters, depending on the size of the company, they, you know, we partner with them. They look at, mm-hmm. look as us as a resource. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So, which is nice because we're on the same team.
Yeah. Well, and I can relate even in like the marketing space, because there's a lot of things like either due to capacity or you have a very niche skill set, which your firm obviously does, that it's like we need the support, whether it's on a temporary basis or, you know, a long-term relationship. So that makes sense.
Exactly. Exactly.
Cool. So let's say you start up with a new company. At that point, are you non-exclusive? So they could be utilizing other agencies?
So it just depends.
Yeah.
It really depends. It depends on, you know, kind of where they're in the process. We have a lot of times where we go from non-exclusive to exclusive because of our work with them and the candidates we present. But, you know, here it is in a nutshell, and this is what I've learned over the years. It makes me feel so old when I start telling people about candidates I placed like 5-8 years ago. I'm going, oh, my gosh. But anyways, I'm like, oh, goodness, I feel so young. But the biggest point is like, for us to place the right people within the organization is really, really important, because if they leave, it's going to do neither party good. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Kaylee talks about this, right? You need the right people in the right seats on the bus.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's important. And it's fun. It's very rewarding. I would say my job is very rewarding, because you really watch people make mm-hmm. huge career choices. And you watch them make, you know, it changes their family. It's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
When you really find that perfect match. And there are clients that will go, well, you got to talk to this person. I don't even care if you look at the right, you have to talk to this person, because they're a perfect match for you, your organization, your culture, whatever it may be.
Hmm.
So it's fun. I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's fun.
Oh, I mean, I like think about Jerry Maguire. Like when I'm thinking about you, I feel like you are that, but just in the business world.
So the funny thing is when I started, I struggled at first with the sense of control. Because, like I mentioned before, being an athlete, you know, at a high level, you definitely, like, you are in control. And
yeah.
I'm going to make sure I watch film, and I'm going to have my mm-hmm. scouting report done, and so on and so forth. Like, that was not going to – there wasn't going to be a beat missed. Well, then when you're working with people, and then you get a call and say somebody didn't show up to an interview, and you're like, like, you want to pull your hair out. And mm-hmm. I felt like it was me that didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just
– Right.
I'm like – and I want to go – call them and be like, what were you thinking?
Right.
But you can't. And you just learn. You learn that you prep and but you learn a lot about people, which is fun, which is really fun.
Talk more about that. What do you mean you learn a lot about people?
Like, you know, when you call somebody, when you're prepping them for the interviews, you're like, oh gosh, I have to call him back, because I have to remind him. Like, I might need to call him.
Have you ever picked somebody up and made sure they had to be there?
We have done a lot of really funny crazy things. I mean, I have met with people. I have walked them to their interviews. I mean, we're talking. There's been some crazy stuff.
So that is confusing to me, because if you have to force kind of someone to go to an interview, like, is that even the right job for them? Are they like, I mean, if they're that hesitant to make a move.
So it's funny. It really depends on the field. Mm-hmm. It really depends on the types of positions, but it also depends just on the person. Some people are so in their mode and they're not open to change that you have to put it right in front of them. Like, listen, you are being underpaid, or listen,
sure.
you are, your skill set, you could be contributing so much more, whatever it may be. So you're right. I mean, it definitely sometimes we're like, okay, maybe this isn't the right move, but you just have this gut. There's so many different factors that go into it that it just really depends.
So for the risk-averse people that make very calculated decisions, but you know that they might be better off. Okay, I'm with that. I'm picking up what you're saying.
Good, good. No, definitely.
When you meet with your clients, what's that process like? Because I'm assuming in order to go out and look for the candidates, because it's your job to go and find them, right?
Yes.
So they might come to you and say, look, we don't have the time to find the perfect person for this. We have nobody that we are sending you out to go look for, but you need to find this person for this position. What's that prep like, or how intense is that meeting with that client to figure out what that actual job is? Because now you got to go out and find the person and sell that.
So a lot of times you would think it would be very intensive. I used to think it would be very formal, which a lot of times it is. I'm not saying it's not. But then it kind of gets down to brass tacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very, very, okay, here's what we need. Here's what we need. Here's what we're looking for. Some of it you can put on paper. Some of it you can't. Mm-hmm. Some of it's, hey, this has worked in the past. These are the rock stars. Or, hey, we want an athlete. Or, hey, we have to have this, you know, depending on what it is, this exact skill set or this exact experience. Mm-hmm. It just really depends. But our job is to go find out exactly what they're looking for and then go find it.
How do you find it?
Yes, that's the question.
So there's lots of platforms.
Yeah.
A lot of social media platforms.
Sure.
A lot of, you know, career platforms.
I was hoping you'd say social media because, listeners, if you remember back to, you know, at least 5 episodes ago where we were talking about who you are on social is going to affect your career.
Very much so.
Right here.
Very much so. And I placed a girl at the beginning of February. She actually, I have to give a shout out to my brother because I was about to have a baby. And so he sourced for me, and which is the initial stage of like outreach and kind of identifying the talent and so on and so forth. So he found this one female, and then she referred somebody to me, and then that person actually referred this candidate to me. So it went through 2 different channels to actually find. So we get a lot from referrals as well. Mm-hmm. Hey, I know the perfect person for that role, or, you know, just
do you pay for referrals?
We do.
Okay. So that's the incentive to give you referrals.
Yes,
okay.
Most definitely.
Gosh, you have multiple multiple lanes coming in, right? Like you've got referrals coming in, you have your clients coming in, you have the prospective clients coming in. I mean, that's a lot of balls to be juggling up in the air.
It is. It completely is.
So fun though, right?
It's so fun.
It's like a puzzle.
It's crazy.
Fitting all that stuff together.
It is. And when it finally fits, you're like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever.
It's still like so surprising to me. Like, but just to think about it, all right, a company comes to you and they say, this is what I want. Go find them. Go. Okay. So that is going to take a little while to build up your base of figuring out where to go, who to talk to, right?
Most definitely. But when you've worked in this industry, there's a lot of, they call them Boolean searches, and there's a lot of keywords, and there's a lot of different tricks of the trade to narrow things down, which is helpful, obviously. But it takes a little while and you build. And like we say, you know, our goal is to deliver top talent. So we're not just going to send anybody over. I mean, we're going to send people who you want to, we're not going to waste your time. That's why they hire us, because they don't want to spend hours and hours and hours of interviewing all these candidates who aren't going to be a good fit or aren't even close to what they're looking for. I mean, we put them in the seats and they want to hire them.
Yeah.
That's our goal. Doesn't always happen.
How many people do you send them?
It just depends. It depends on the role. It depends on if it's very niche, if it's a very, very like specific role where you have to have certifications or, I mean, it could be anything. It really depends. It depends on the types of positions. It depends on the level, the location. I mean, it really depends if it's Chicago or if it's a smaller city or.
Coast to coast?
Coast to coast.
Oh.
My partner's actually placed a few people in Canada, so we're global.
Oh, really?
That's cool.
Okay, so how much of it is regional around here, percentage-wise?
That's a really good question. See, I'm working on a position in Florida and Texas right now. So
yeah,
it just depends. I mean, a lot of our clients, I would say, are based here. But we have clients that we've never even met before. It's just there's such a need for talent.
It's
just
a war on talent, right?
It is. It okay. is.
So that is it. Have you found that even that it's the recruiting field is connected?
You know, very much so.
You know, I mean, that's kind of the sense I get, right? Like, it's kind of a niche on its own. So people are finding you through word of mouth, but you probably know the other recruiting firms. I mean, it's probably all this connection.
Completely. And like people, rather recruiting firms will we refer business back and forth. It's very much so. You find the people that, and I'm going to say this as politically correct as I possibly can. You find the people that are at the same level as you and have the same goals and, mm-hmm. and maybe, mm-hmm. You know, you want to make sure you're working with top recruiters and people right. who, you know, we take a lot of pride in what we do. It's a lot of strenuous work and it's a lot of calling a lot of people who aren't fits. And so it's very, very important to have those relationships and we all kind of help each other, which
yeah.
is nice.
Yeah. When you're calling these people, let's say you're calling these potential candidates, I'm assuming that you get a sense over the phone if it's like, oh, I'm calling you. I heard this is a good thing. But then you get in the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh, this is not going to work. Like, how does that conversation go?
Okay, so here's the funny thing. That happens a lot, but you'd be so surprised the people that I – and, you know, so currently in my current role, I work from home. So it's funny because – the people around me on a daily basis, they know like my pitch on the phone. Like I'm a hustler. Like I will be a kid on my hip calling, leaving voicemails. I will be, you know, in all crazy. So anyways, it's a lot of times the candidates where I almost don't present them because I'm like, are they, you know, should I present them? Should I not present them? I'm worried. They're the ones that get placed.
Really?
So I have a new rule to myself. I say, I'm not holding back on anybody because, you know, unless it's like way bad.
Right.
But if they're on the line and there's something like funny or something crazy about the situation, you'd be so surprised. The ones that I'll be like, if I almost didn't send him, I'll tell my husband, I'll say I almost didn't send him and he got placed. And
huh.
It's cool.
Why do you think that is?
Because I think we get a little wrapped up in just in like the little things. And I think sometimes you got to look big picture.
Uh-huh.
And I was a goal person, you know, obviously my athletic background, very like, okay, I have to submit 5 candidates by Tuesday. So I would push people through or, you know, you learn a lot. And I've learned that you just kind of look big picture, take a step back, look at the situation, you know, is it a good fit from both sides? And
That's very interesting. So go ahead.
Well, back to the social. So as you're vetting someone maybe digitally before you decide to actually call them and actively pursue, what would be something that would completely like turn you off or be like, nope, this person might be technically like on paper qualified, but it's not going to work? Or are there? Is there? Does that exist?
You know, it does exist. It does exist like on extremes. You know, when you Google people and you find things out that way, that's obviously not good usually.
Right.
Unless it's awards or, you know, great things.
Right.
But sometimes those things happen. Mm-hmm. Obviously just the way you present yourself, I think that's big. You know, there's definitely a difference between your personal and your professional life, but they also interlink a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's both. I think it depends on the people and how, you know, some organizations are, and a lot more as years have gone on, a lot of our clients are more laid back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a trend now.
Yeah.
To have a kind of a more laid back, but still professional culture. So I think it just depends.
But there have been instances when you've looked people up and you're like, no.
Oh yeah.
That's a new.
We should write a book.
Tell me one of your stories about that.
Yeah, what was the female you started to talk about? Was that a good ending or not?
Oh, it was a good ending. So she got placed.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had people who have been, I've had athletes who have been like thrown in jail, and I mean it's crazy.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah, I mean big time.
Yeah.
Where you're going, oh gosh, I don't even think I want to call them.
Yeah, like the whole breaking the law thing is kind of a universal bad sign. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's many other things that are subjective, but that's, I would imagine.
Oh, big time.
Across the board.
Big time. And it's huge, like, lessons. I'll think, oh, I'll tell my kids that when they're older.
Right.
Like, I look at resumes every day and I, you know, help people with you know, their careers, and you don't want to do that.
Right.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah, don't be that one.
So for any listener that maybe is on the candidate side looking to make a career change, or maybe kind of starting to think, could there be something else out there, whatever, what tips would you give to them?
I would say to, I think recruiters obviously are great routes to go, because we know a lot about the clients, and we can give you a very biased approach. And I don't mean to say that in a negative way to my clients. I mean, we're going to give a very truthful approach, but we're not an employee of theirs. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like using they're contracting with us. We are a client of theirs. So it's in our best judgment to find the right people. So mm-hmm. I think from a candidate perspective, finding recruiters and good recruiting firms within your industry is going to be a huge benefit. I think they give you a lot of the tools, they can guide you on through the interview process. They a lot of times probably have placed these types of positions. Mm-hmm. So they're aware. And I think just putting yourself out there. Yeah. I think, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to say the grass is always greener, because it's not. And, mm-hmm. I think it's just, if you're at that point in your career where you're ready for a change, I think it's putting yourself out there and finding the right resources.
Mm-hmm. So candidates contact you?
Yes, all the time.
Yeah. But they don't pay you?
No. That's a huge question. We are not headhunters. Mm-hmm. So our clients pay us.
What's
so,
the difference?
You know, I really don't know the definition of mm-hmm. a headhunter. And I don't necessarily know if – I don't think there's a ton of them anymore. But maybe I could be wrong.
I mean, it was like big back in the 90s.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
A temp agency is like what I would imagine for – I mean, that's – probably, I don't really know. I've never talked to a temp agency, but do candidates pay temp agencies if they get placed?
No.
Like,
no,
I don't even know.
No. I don't even know.
No, they're paid. Those agencies are paid
by the client.
By the client. So it's kind of like being a buyer's agent in real estate.
Yes.
You know, where buyers do not pay the real estate agent, the client of the seller pays both the buyer and the seller's agent.
Unless it's today's market.
Are you paying for a buyer's agent?
Side squirrel moment, we have those a lot.
What?
Because that was part of the counter of all the closing costs, everything were paid by us. Yeah. But we really wanted this property, and so we're like, you know,
I'm going to drink.
It's just what it is. So we went back and forth a little bit, and then that's what it was. Yeah, I know.
All right. Moving on. I used to be a real estate agent.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I didn't know that. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And Stacy knows the property that, like, we talked obviously a lot about this before as I was looking at it. Yeah.
See, I don't know anything about real estate, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't enjoy that process at all. Oh, it is, like, high stress.
That's making me sweat right now.
Yeah. High stress.
Actually, just kidding. The fact that there's no air conditioning, it's 80 degrees outside, is making me sweat.
And we're locked in in a room with no windows.
Actually, for sure, today's market is, like, totally.
It's crazy.
It's like, a seller's market.
The things that sellers demand, and I've heard this, so a couple of my other friends have bought houses and not just property, like even in the last like 30 days, mm-hmm. and the stories that they mm-hmm. have about the requests even after the purchase agreement is signed, or like the back and forth there, is just like, from when I bought my house in a buyer's market, like complete opposite scenario. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because we're going really far down this rabbit hole, but multiple different real estate agents. So it's not even like it's like one agency that is like maybe not being diligent. It's like completely diverse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyways, all right. So back to recruiting.
Yeah, but I'm happy because she's going to be a Buchanan girl.
Yeah.
Woo-woo. I lived in Buchanan. So I say Niles. I guess I probably should be careful. I grew up in Niles till 7th grade, and then I moved to Buchanan.
Oh.
But I went to Niles because I was obviously in 7th grade.
Because you were already there.
But you were kind of a buck.
Yeah, but we're – and bad. I love, like, the Buchanan restaurants and
– Right.
Love all the
– Everything about it, I know.
It's amazing.
I know. It's the best small town in America.
More things keep opening, too. Like, business is coming to Buchanan.
Yes.
So. It's amazing.
Bucktown Nutrition. Shout out to them. They'll be having a ribbon cutting June 2nd, right downtown Buchanan. Super excited about that.
That is cool. So,
that makes me super excited. So is that like health, like protein shakes?
Yes, and... yes. Right downtown Buchanan.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
We're getting all kinds of cool stuff in our little town. So you can go to Redbud Fitness. And then shout out to my spinning instructor, Carrie, who crushed it this morning at spinning. So thanks so much.
Now, to be clear, is this Carrie or different Carrie?
Different Carrie.
Different Carrie. No. A lot of Carries in Buchanan.
Carrie that takes baths on Wednesdays, who's my best friend.
Ah.
She does not come to spinning class.
Okay.
Nor does she run because it hurts her feelings and her head.
And she is the one that you know,
yes.
Sarah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So non-spinning bath-taking Carrie is the connection between you two.
Yes.
Different Carrie
yes.
is
spinning.
Okay. All right.
Yes. She's
I'm clear.
Spinning instructor. We have like a 5 a.m. crew. So anyways, you know, my beloved hometown, that's what I call it every time. So all right. Oh, that's my 2-minute commercial for Buchanan, like I have every episode. So
do you think
on.
That the city will sponsor us?
They should.
They should.
They totally should. You know the mayor, right?
I love Mayor Brenda Hess. She's my best mayor in all of America.
See, here, you need to finish right. that box.
So, yeah. So, oh, okay. I wanted to ask this question because you had kind of, I kind of teased it a little bit, but I had asked you, okay, the whole Jerry Maguire idea, right? Like, have you picked people up and actually driven them? And you said, oh, there's been some crazy story. So tell me, I want the crazy story. That's what our listeners are going to want. They're going to want a crazy story.
Oh, the crazy stories?
Yeah. Well, give me one. Just give me, like, something that you were like. So when I was a real estate agent, there was this house that the appraiser was going to be coming. And I mean, it just needed a little bit of work. So... those two. So I found myself on a Saturday night vacuuming a house and like cleaning it, took all my cleaning supplies over, like to make sure that, okay, so that was kind of crazy. Well, then the second time, another time I had, an appraiser coming and it was for a different type of loan where there had to be all these different requirements, right? And one of the requirements was there had to be a deck built around the front because the drop-off was farther than was required. So there had to be a deck. So I had somebody build a deck and then I had a painter because you can't have bare wood for this type of loan because it's a government loan. So you can't have bare wood. So you had to either have it treated or painted. Okay, I had... the appraiser coming on Friday morning at 9. I had my painter coming on Thursday. Guess what? Thursday comes, painter doesn't show up. Guess where my ass was on Thursday night with a can of paint and some floodlights painting the deck 4 hours. And then went back in the morning. The paint was still wet when the appraiser came. You know, so like we do, hustlers do what they got to do to make the sale or to put the placement. So what's something like that you've done?
Okay, so two things. One, there was a candidate, he was such a rock star that I literally walked him to his interviews, would sit down with him afterwards and make sure he opened his laptop to write the thank you email because he was such an A player that his mind went a million different ways and he was going to produce at the level they wanted him to produce and he was the rock star. So I made sure that I was like pretty much holding his hand while he was doing it. So that's, I mean, kind of an idea. Okay, and this is the big thing in our industry and I get it. I've been married for almost 4 years and my husband better, you know, talk to me about big decisions before they happen.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of talking to spouses.
You know, that is so funny.
You know, it's I've had dinner with like husband and wives and not in a very like educate me, let me know because, and I get it. I get it. I mean, they're huge decisions. You're talking about your livelihood. You're talking about your career. You're talking about your job. You're talking about money. I mean, there's so many things that go involved and you'd be so, that was one thing I was not aware of and didn't realize going into this industry that, you know, some people don't care and they just make the change or whatever it may be. But some people, you have to say, okay, listen, I got to talk to my wife about that. And I mean, some people have to talk to their wives before they even interview. I mean, it's very, 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 very.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which I get. I respect
that.
It.
Totally get that. Mm-hmm.
Do you, so this is a kind of a squirrel, but not really. When you're talking about, especially relocating, do you see like one gender or another being the reason for that relocation?
You know what? I know if sometimes I feel like I'm so politically correct, but I really...
You've listened to our podcast, right?
Yeah. Honestly, I think that it just depends. I would say I've definitely relocated more males.
Yeah.
Than
that's
females.
Not surprising to me.
Yeah. Definitely more males than females, I would say. Relocation's a big one. There's a lot of spousal talk through that one.
Yeah.
You know,
because like locally, I wouldn't even like whatever. I mean, not totally whatever, but like, okay, we aren't moving. It's not like you need to leave your job, whatever. But when you're talking about relocation, that's something different entirely. So that's just really, I was just more curious.
I've talked to one candidate. He was literally in the delivery room with his wife. And I'm saying, this is even before I had children. And I know that's a big deal. And I said, you can call me back. It's no big deal. And he was prepping for a call while his wife was in labor. I mean, that was a hustler right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rock star.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Does his wife think so?
I don't really probably think so, but maybe not.
You know, labor takes a long time.
It does.
Yeah. It just depends on what. Like, are we talking about, like, the first couple hours of labor? Because it could take a while. Like, are we talking about 4 centimeters? Or are we talking about 9?
Or, you know, honestly, and how big of a compensation increase.
I was just going to say, or what can he provide her and the new baby?
After that new baby's coming.
Exactly.
Yeah. Honey, you're working it over there. I'm working it over
right.
here.
Yeah.
Well negotiated.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Interesting.
That interesting. Is, I mean, but that makes sense, right? I mean, especially if marriages are partnerships, you know, that those partners would want to talk first.
Most definitely. And I think to hear sometimes, you know, the whole picture, it's like from somebody else and not just saying, oh, my husband really wants the job or my wife really wants the job, so she's going to give me the good point.
Yeah.
For somebody to come in and say, okay, here's the pros, here maybe some of the cons. Yeah. I'm just going to be honest, like here. To see it from an outsider's view.
And the unbiased perspective, like you said, because you don't work well, I guess you kind of do work for your clients, but like you have that
it's like an agent.
An outside view. Yeah. So you can give that honest, like, you're not going to be a good fit there or whatever.
Exactly.
Or here's the good, bad, and the ugly.
And from a client's perspective, that's a huge benefit for them because we're not just saying, oh, I'm an employee here. I have quotas. I have to meet goals. So I don't care. Let's just hire them because it's easier. Because
then they leave and then it costs more.
Exactly. And they're not getting the ROI and all that.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, and I find like, so myself, as risk averse as I am, I feel like I always have rose colored glasses on. So when an opportunity presents itself, I am so excited initially, and like everything is going to be, like I said, everything's fine. Everything's
fine.
Always fine.
It's
like
fine. It's going to be fine.
I'm so positive almost to a fault that to have someone like in that example, I think it would be really beneficial to have someone like you be like, yeah, it's going to be fine, but make sure you think about this, this, and this.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. And sometimes it takes in we have a candidate to get all the way to the final, and we have those conversations where it's like, okay, let's talk about why we initially had this discussion. You know, why are you either unhappy or why are you even entertaining other opportunities? Or, hey, maybe you don't need to leave. And maybe this was just you learning about another opportunity and kind of gauging yourself in your current role and your current career. And so it just depends. It's never the same situation.
No, I'm sure not.
And that's probably what makes it fun.
And I think of anything talking to you, that has been my biggest like takeaway, because I had a perception of recruiting as a profession of being very monotonous. Like you're doing essentially the same thing. And that is so obviously like not the case at all.
No.
So that's very interesting.
No. And especially for having us, my business partner, I call her Jenny P. Her name's Jenny Pistel.
Jenny P.
Jenny P. She's the smartest person I know.
Nice.
So especially our firm, because we do work in a lot of different industries and because we are niche, it's definitely, you know, it's a different thing every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very cool.
It's very every person's a project. Everything's a project and every project is different.
Completely.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's super cool.
It's fun.
I learned something.
Good. I'm so glad.
Yeah, I've learned lots of things.
I know, right?
I'm learning a ton.
So let's shift gears just a little bit as we've mentioned that you have these three darling boys at home and you have a husband at home and you've been married for 4 years and have 3 boys under the age of 3. God love you. God bless your little heart. What is that like?
You know,
running
what?
A firm with 3 babies at home.
So, oh goodness, how do I put this the right way?
Just say it.
It's a shit show.
It's a shit show. That's what our here's what our listeners appreciate: the realness. It's a shit show.
It's a shit show.
It's a lovely shit show.
It's a lovely shit show that I literally sometimes the most I can take it is hour by hour. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I take it minute by minute.
Yes.
You know, it's just it's everything. I love the chaos. Otherwise, I wouldn't obviously have this crazy growing family.
Right.
Doing all of this. I love the chaos. I love the different dynamics. I love the different roles that I have in my everyday life. Mm-hmm. It's very stressful. Very, very stressful. And it's a shit ton of work. But it's rewarding, you know?
Yeah. How do you manage that stress?
Lots of coffee.
Sure. Uh-huh. I appreciate that.
Lots of coffee. Even when I'm pregnant, lots of coffee. My doctor knows. I'm like, dude,
whatever,
listen.
Man.
Yeah. I'm like.
Especially with the third one. Did you find with the third one, you're like, listen, I've been through this before. You ain't fooling me this time.
And honestly,
they're going to be fine.
And
everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
With this third one, right?
Yeah.
They just do, you just do whatever you want and they're fine.
And he's literally my best baby. He like, I think he has to be.
My baby's my best. I mean, my baby. We call her baby. She's about to be four. She doesn't go by anything but baby. But baby. She's the easiest one.
See, and I think they have to be. I think they're used to the chaos. I think they're just used to it. And you think as
they're
parents.
Cultured.
Yeah.
But there are so much worse things than coffee when you're like, I wouldn't consider that
But with the first one, I was like, oh my God, I'm not even drinking anything. With the second one, I was like, all right. With the first one, I would like have like a cup of decaf. Mm-hmm. With the second one, I would be like, all right, I'm going to drink mostly decaf, but maybe have one cup of coffee. With the third one, I was like,
coffee.
Mama needs more.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I think I actually like lied to myself. Mm-hmm. And I think he told me 2 cups a day. And I think I told myself 3 cups a day. And I think I told everybody else around me 3 cups a day. And then I was really drinking 4 cups a day at times. And
it's
like,
well, a cup is subjective.
Right. It's fine.
So what's a cup? I know that there's technically a measurement of a cup. But I go by like my Yeti is 1 cup.
Very true. Very true.
So.
Very true.
Right.
Very true.
Yeah. So the day, does it start early?
Starts super early. Super early.
We have a 3-month-old.
I have a 3-month-old.
Is he sleeping through the night?
He, at times.
Yeah.
But he's not, I mean, he's
3 months old.
Yeah, he wakes up once. Yeah, the people that tell you, oh, maybe he's sleeping through the night and a month old. I'm like, you are lying.
Mine did.
No!
Swear to God.
I'm like, you have to be lying. There's no
way.
Swear
to God.
So mine.
But like when I say through the night, I mean 6 hours.
Which is through the night. I mean, you can get 6 hours of sleep. You're a happy camper, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool with me.
Yeah.
My youngest, he's very good, though. He, like, wakes up once. Sometimes I don't even remember him waking up.
Yeah.
I'm so tired. I'm just, like, give him a bottle and go on.
Right.
So it's good.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. I mean, I have a really, really, really great husband.
Yeah.
Who's very, very involved and very hands-on and very helpful. I have great support around. We have great family around. So it's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. And they're, like, honestly, so my oldest two are a year and 10 days apart. And everybody used to tell me, I just didn't know any different. Everybody used to tell me, oh, they're going to play together, and we're now seeing it big time. Like, they're little best friends, and we can sit out back, and they play, and I have the baby, and it's nice.
Yeah. Oh, and they're only 3 and 2. It gets easier.
That's what everyone says.
It gets easier. 9, 7, and 3. It gets easier.
Okay, thank you, because some days, you know, you have those days where you're like, I'm driving in the car, I'm like, I am killing this. Like, somebody should be, like, giving me an award, like, I'm kicking ass.
Yeah.
And then, like, you come home and, like, shit hits the fan. I'm like, I should never be allowed to have children.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, the challenges just change. I shouldn't have said it gets easier. The tiredness part gets way easier because now, like, I sleep, you know, like, sleep's fine. But the challenges are different because now I have a 9-year-old who wants to fight me on everything.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So
the
challenges are different. However, it's all good, you know? Like, it's all good.
Yeah, and honestly, like, it's crazy, but take it day by day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, talk about some themes. So when I do ever, if I have children, I now know from every mom that's come on our podcast, one, live by family.
Yes.
Which
oh
I'm
my
doing.
God.
Oh, great. Okay. I'm moving literally across the street from my in-laws and around the corner.
Go Bucks.
Two, take it minute by minute.
Yes.
And 3 probably is that there's going to be good and bad days. Those are my like consistencies as you were talking, but I'm sure that there were more.
And there are good and bad moments within the good and bad days.
Yeah.
But then here's the best moment. It's like there are those nights where it's 9 o'clock maybe and you go in and all of them are sleeping and they look the most beautiful things you've ever seen in your entire life and your heart wants to burst. Like it, it physically hurts your heart to watch these children sleeping. And you're like, they are so beautiful. So that part outweighs the part where now when I pick my children up and they are fighting in the back seat within 2 seconds of me picking them up all the way home. And I've done the brake check. I am not afraid of the brake check. I am not. Like, Mama is pulling this car over and you are getting out and you're walking home. But Mom, we don't know how to get them. I don't care. You're getting out of my car. I mean, that's going to happen when they're older probably. But, you know, like those moments outweigh. But it's just like anything in life, you know, the good and you take the good and the bad and that's life.
I agree. And you know what? Here's the other thing that I'm just going to go off on my own little squirrel. Oh, yeah.
They're welcome here. Mm-hmm.
I think I agree. And I think every day it's so hard and there's it's so much work. But I think a lot of times we like relate work to being negative. And I don't think it should be that way.
Right.
I always think back to like the best things I've ever done in my life, whether it's something small. I mean, I don't care. If it takes work. So like, I mean, I think it's sometimes it's perspective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm the farthest thing from a great mom. I mean, I literally barely am breathing sometimes. But I think that it's just looking at it as like, this work is good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I could just be like a deadbeat.
So it's right. Like Britney work. You know, like work, like, work, work, work. That's the work.
I love it. I love it.
Yes. Not like, you know.
Not like, oh, gotta work. Yeah.
No.
Well, what's that old saying, right? Anything worth anything is going to be difficult.
Right.
Right. So those are the things that we work for, but we want to work for. Like that's what makes life sweet. Mm-hmm. So, isn't that nice? Now I'm going to go home and I don't have to put my kids to bed. They're going to be fighting. I'm be like, get your up into your room. And I'm like, oh, I remember you just like half an hour ago, you were talking about how beautiful they were.
Well, that's the good moments and bad moments. Or not bad moments, challenging moments.
I love that one meme where it's like in the morning, like, children, get your shoes on. It's like Mary Poppins. And then it's like a dinosaur. Get your shoes on. Like, I swear to God, like if I have to say get your shoes on one more time in the morning, I'm gonna lose my shit. Just kidding. I lose my shit every morning. Every morning. Get in the car. I said, why are we not in the car? Why is your binder not in the bag? Why are your shoes? You have the wrong shoes on. Your shoes are on the wrong feet. Why are we not in the car? Where's your bag? I mean, it's like, it's a shit show every morning. If we're talking about shit shows every morning.
I love it.
Gets easier.
I'm sitting here going, oh God, I don't even have binders or bags yet. I'm going, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine.
You just wait till you have to pack lunch. I have to tell you, in February this year, so I have packed lunches. My kids are 9 and 7. They've been in school for a while, 3rd and 1st grade. I have packed lunches every day, and I used to leave them little cute little notes. In February this year, I said, Mama's had it. Y'all are getting hot lunch. But Mom, we don't like, I don't care. You're either going to eat it. Or you're going to go hungry, but I'm done packing lunches. You're getting hot lunch. I don't care.
Good for you.
I'm such a mean mom.
Every episode, you give me more and more reasons to have children.
That's just great. She's like, oh my God.
Yeah, but Kaylee, they're beautiful.
They are.
And when they're sleeping. And when they're but you know what? Here's the other beautiful thing. Like one takeaway of, you know, beautiful
and
things.
On a positive note.
I got to watch my son stand out on the pitching mound last weekend and strike out 7 kids. This is my 9-year-old who, for a moment, he's my firstborn. That was the happiest day of my life. I can still remember that feeling of holding him the first time and he's looking up at me. And now, fast forward 9.5 years later, and he is on a pitching mound, full uniform. He's got the eye black under his eyes, and he is up there by himself, and he's crushing it, and it's like, that's what it's all about.
Oh, I love it.
Just watching it. Just watching them. Mm-hmm. Watching them become the people who they're becoming is the coolest damn thing that there is in life. So
I bet.
That's why you should have kids.
I really just want to see how tall my kid will get.
Super tall.
Oh, I don't want to see how tall mine are going to get.
Yours are gonna I think that mine will probably break 6 foot too, but we'll see. That'll be fun.
It's going to be awesome. All those Gainus kids running around out on that Bucktown property.
That's right.
I love it. Love it. So we should end with a listener.
Yes.
review. So I am going to read Rebecca Keenan, who reviewed Hustlin' in Heels. And she said, "This podcast makes me smile and laugh during my commute," which we love. "The topics are something I need in my life right now. Love the host and the bubbles. Cheers." And then here's why I wanted to read hers. And shout out to Shane at putthemintasong.com for the awesome intro music. I love it. And we love it too.
We do.
We've shared this story before, but like if there's someone knocking it out of the park, like when we came up with the idea for this, our listeners know this too. If you've been longtime listeners, you know, 15-ish episodes. We essentially said to Shane, "Look, we want something that's feminine but badassy. Like if you're walking into a boardroom,
yeah,
go."
And he did.
What you hear is the first thing that he sent us.
Yeah,
we were like, "No edits needed. Thanks, cool."
He nailed it.
He nailed it. PutThemInASong.com. And if you haven't listened to, he has a brand new podcast that's part of NBI Studios. So The Root Note, Shane Yoder, PutThemInASong.com. Follow him, listen to him, subscribe to him. We heart Shane.
Yep. He did our artwork too.
Our logo.
Yep. That's amazing.
And we've never even met him.
No.
Go Shane.
Just digitally. That's the power of technology. Yep.
He lives in Nashville. So thank you very much, Rebecca, for the review.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Wally, Domain, Barry, and Sellers, for this fantastic Merlot.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, thank you, Sarah Workman, for like giving us the details tonight about recruiting. We didn't know.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. I had a blast, and I am, if you have any questions, let me know.
Okay.
We will.
All right. And how can people reach out to you or give a plug to your business?
So we have a website, jpworkmangroup.com, and I'm on LinkedIn, obviously, Facebook, the whole kit and caboodle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can email me as well. My email, I'll throw it out there. I don't even care. sworkman@jpworkmangroup.com. So JP is for Jenny Pistel, smartest woman I know.
Okay.
My business partner.
Jenny P.
She's awesome. She loves some wine.
Oh, we love Jenny P then.
Yep. You will love her.
Hmm.
But yes, so if you're looking for a job or looking for candidates, reach out. We would love to help.
That is super awesome. Thank you for sharing that information, and thank you for enlightening us on the whole world of recruiting. That was super cool to find out about.
That was. I think I have loved all of our guests, but I think I learned the most talking to you.
Oh my gosh, that makes me so happy.
Yes.
Very cool.
That makes me happy.
Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And you just heard where to find Sarah, and you know where to find us, HIH Pod, on all channels and on iTunes or wherever you listen to. Well, you're listening. Right.
Yeah, but you need to share us. You need to
tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Tell your mama. Tell your sisters.
Yeah.
Follow us. Follow us on Facebook. We are growing, growing, growing. Hey, by the way, I threw out a post the other day, and I think I'm going to continue this, of my sparkly heels.
Yeah.
The most social interaction. Y'all were leaving me pictures of what you were wearing on your feet and how that applied to your career. I loved it so, so much. I'm still getting notifications about.
Yeah.
There's like a bajillion comments on that. I love it.
So I'm like in a meeting as all of these comments and my phone is going bzz, 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 and I'm like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? Oh no. Nope. It's all of our loyal, faithful fans, our tribe.
We love you, tribe.
Commenting on one of our favorite channels.
Yeah. So we love it. Awesome. So thanks so much for joining us. We hope that you will join us again next week. See you later, hustlers.
Hustlin' in Heels is an NBI Studios production. Your hosts are Stacey Carlin and Kaylee Gaines, and all views and opinions expressed on the shows are theirs and theirs alone. Your executive producer is Michael Bussing, and all music and artwork for the show was created by Shane Yoder with PutThemInASong.com. You can follow along with Stacey and Kaylee on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at HIHPod. And you can also send the show an email to letschat@hihpod.com. Feel free to write into the ladies if you're hustling in heels, tennis shoes, work boots, slippers, socks, or barefoot. If you've got a question, comment, or to suggest a guest, or even if you'd like to be a part of the show. That's all we have today, so make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time for our next episode. But until then, keep on hustling, ladies.